This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Right, Anne, you've got a question.
Why do you... I'm sure we sort of covered this last week. I don't like this, you rocking up, just landing some shit on me with no prior warning.
I know, but look, since we've started doing this, we have had amazing episodes, haven't we?
So you think it's like a bit of a bit of an omen, I think now we've got to carry on.
Yeah, like I'm into a bit of a like, we can't drop, we're on episode 6 and I would say the last 5 have been some of our best yet. So
okay, let's continue then. So, so hit me with whatever shit you've got.
Right. How do you feel about glitter?
It's an absolute shitter.
Glitter shitter.
Glitter is a shitter.
Honestly, it is fucking annoying.
Who invented
it?
Who invented glitter?
Some prick.
Some kind of arty crafty person, isn't it?
Yeah, some arty craft.
Solomon invented glitter. Along with Hinch in the background. A pair of them.
Right, do you know what's annoying? Like, you think you've got it off your hand, right? Mm. So you think you've got rid of it. And then you'll see somebody 3 hours later, they'll be like, you've got glitter on your face.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, I've obviously wiped my face thinking that the glitter is gone.
Have you been using glitter for something then? Why have you come at me with the glitter?
One of our listeners sent me a message just saying, I fucking hate glitter.
Right, okay. It's not like you've been doing any arts and crafts.
Oh, I've been big in the crafting world.
Bloody hell, Pats. What is happening to you? I swear, you are going through some weird shit.
I haven't been crafting. I don't even own any craft.
I reckon you're slyly crafting shit.
I am. You know, I said I'm having a midlife unraveling. Is all going to come out in craft form.
Yeah. I'm going to turn up to your house next time. There's going to be shitting pumpkins covered in glitter.
No, everywhere. Do you know what I'm going to make? I'm going to make one of those collage things that you used to make when you cut up magazines at school to try and depict my life, where it was, where I am and where it's going.
Wow, now that would be interesting.
My God, wouldn't fucking hell. The state I'm in at the moment, mate, it would be newsworthy, I reckon.
Yeah, it'd be an absolute bloody car crash, mate, wouldn't it?
This particular section of the collage would be a car crash. It would be absolutely fatal.
Yeah, it bloody would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, Pat, we do need to talk about our recent TV appearance.
Oh, don't we, darling?
Don't we? Well.
Weird day, that, wasn't it? Weird day.
It was so weird. Especially because, like, you know, like the rest of your life carries on. Like, you know, we had a call with so-and-so at like 11:30 and we had another call at like 12. But in amongst that and around that, you're like, shit, I've got to do that work. I haven't done that. I've got to answer that. I've got to sort the kids out. I've got to, you know, all that stuff just happens. And in amongst it, you go, oh yeah, we're on Loose Women at 12:45.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, hang on. No, we've got to do that chat with the producer before. Yeah.
So you've basically got to be ready from 11:30.
Yeah. And the producer comes on and is like, hi, thanks so much for coming on. I mean, when he thanked us for coming on the show, I was like, mate, seriously, if there's anyone thanking anyone here, it's us thanking you. We're some bit part podcasters who just so happen to have a semi-well-known brother. If there's anyone thanking anyone, fucking hell.
I love the fact that you said a semi-well-known brother.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say anything other than that, am I?
that is a perfect description.
Semi-well-known. We know that James sometimes listens. I'm not blowing any more fucking smoke up his ass by calling him famous.
He has enough smoke.
he's constantly smoking and not in the way
cigarette.
That we're thinking.
He's a pipe.
He has got smoke coming so much out of his ass, you could smoke him.
Yeah. Yeah, you could smoke your salmon.
But yeah, and everyone was so lovely, weren't they, on the socials?
So lovely. Honestly,
we had so many messages and just like people saying how well they thought we did and how well we came across. And talking of socials, there might be a few people that have found us of Loose Women. We should probably give our little socials out, shouldn't we?
We should, and we should also say, welcome to the crew.
Welcome to the crew.
If you are new around these parts,
welcome.
Welcome to Finding Funny.
So a couple of things. We're absolutely delighted that you're here.
Sorry, like, Pat, sorry, so Pat. Could you please start that sentence again?
Right.
Sorry, again, you didn't use the correct words, did you?
We're absolutely delighted that you're here.
No, not that bit further back. You said a couple of things. What do we say, Pat? Come on.
Okay, guys, listen.
There you go. That's what we're on.
Gullivings. First, we're so delighted that you're here. Thank you so much for stopping by. Secondly, please promise us you're not going to leave us. This is now a relationship. Andrew and I are already fully hooked into you.
We are invested.
If you're new, this is me looking in your eyes saying, please don't ever leave us.
Please don't go.
Yeah.
Don't go.
We're gonna be holding onto your arm as you try and walk out the door.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't. Okay, you're in now. You're in.
There's loads of places you can find us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com. And we love hearing from you.
Oh, my God, do
like,
we?
Just makes all the difference to us, like hearing from you with your, you know, stuff that's going on in your own life, any of your things that you think are dickish behaviours or any big burning questions you feel we need to address. Like, we love to hear it. So get in
and
touch.
You'll see as you listen to more episodes how much of listener involvement that we love.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Anne, shall we?
Let's do Le Big Question.
Do you know that?
I haven't done that for a while.
That felt like a hug.
Yeah, it did.
It felt so comforting to have that back.
Just the rawness.
Just the emotion.
None of the beats.
The rawness. No.
You know, we just sort of stripped it right back.
Right back.
Haven't we?
Stripped it right back.
What's the thing?
Acoustic.
That's the word.
Acoustic. We've got acoustic. It's like we've seen Ed Sheeran at Wembley and now we're watching him in a local pub.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly the same vibes.
That is me. Just call me Ed. But yeah, we thought we'd bring one of these this week.
We thought we had a good big question from Liz on the gram.
We did.
And Liz asked, when does a bride go from being enthusiastic about her wedding to being a bridezilla? Which I think is a brilliant question.
Do you think you ever went bridezilla?
No, not at all.
No,
genuinely,
I don't.
I remember at our wedding, actually, we had a photo booth and I remember going over to the people that were running it saying, do you want to go and help yourself to some food? Like, there's the buffet's out. And they were
Patty.
Like, what?
Patty.
They were like, what? And I said, yeah. They were like, no, nobody does that.
No, I don't think. I think your bridezilla is the run up to. I don't think generally bridezillas.
Oh no, there's bridezillas that carry it through on the day as well.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that shit is generally beforehand. When you turn into
But I think if you're a bridezilla on the day, you're not going up to people that are serving at your wedding and saying, do you want to go and help yourself to food? Because you're so self-obsessed. You're so consumed with yourself.
You actually bring that. You've brought that as a reason as to why you were not a bridezilla. Because you went and asked if they wanted to have
them. Oh my God, I fucking hate you sometimes.
No, do you know what, Andrew? I was not a bridezilla because...
Right, I'm out.
Do you know what I did?
This is the last episode, season 3, episode 6. We've had a great run. Fuck you. This is unfair. You do this. Oh, you're such a bitch. Do you know what? I want to bring Mum onto the podcast every week because she'd get this shit then and not me.
I'm not a bridezilla because on the day I asked the photo booth people if they'd like to have some food. That does not make you not a bridezilla.
Of course it does. No bridezillas go around asking people if they want food. No one is. They're so obsessed with themselves.
Yeah, I. Yeah, I don't think that applies, Pat. I mean, I don't think you were a bridezilla at any point, but I don't think that means you weren't one.
Okay, so what do you think constitutes a bridezilla then? If it's not being kind to people who are working at your wedding and saying, would you like some food? Does anybody want to do a podcast with Ange?
I mean, get ready for me being an absolute cow a lot of the
time. Yeah, basically, try and hold your own in this space and be funny and think, fucking hell, why is she picking on me again? I mean, last week we had, when we talked about how does somebody woo you, you were like, is it with food?
Holy shite. You know I only ever bring that shit because it get a laugh.
Oh, yeah. Well, we will say anything for a laugh. I think exactly. We've both established that in the last 18 months. Both of us, if we think it's going to make someone laugh, we'll happily
yeah.
say it.
We'll just do it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, bridezillas, what do you think?
Well, I just think being a bridezilla is just being completely and utterly obsessed with you, your day. You know, getting down to like the nitty gritty of like telling people what they've got to wear.
Oh yeah, so well, I went to a wedding this weekend.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? This has been well timed.
Well timed.
What and now? What was this bride like? What was she?
Oh God. Well, people in the wedding party were told they couldn't wear pink because she didn't like that.
Right.
Because something. Well, it was weird because it was the mother of the bride was going to wear pink, and then she wasn't in pink, and the other one was you can't wear navy because the bride doesn't like navy, but the mother of the bride was in navy.
Yeah. See, this is okay. This is your classic bridezilla.
Bridezilla, yeah.
The minute you start telling people what they and can't wear to your wedding, right,
You've lost it.
I'm out. I'm not coming. Well, I don't give a shit.
Talking of our wedding, we got married on New Year's Eve, and on the 27th, there was a wedding at the same venue, and the bride had said she wanted the venue to take down any hint of Christmas.
You are having a laugh.
On the 27th of December, she was like, I don't want Christmas. So then don't get married on the 27th of December then. That's the day after Boxing Day.
27th of April.
Yeah.
That really does get
I mean, that is bridezilla. I tell you what. Bridezillas, there's like a whole new realm of bridezillas. And I sort of get it because they hand over to the groom. So have you ever watched Don't Tell the Bride?
No, I have not.
Oh, God. That show is such amazing TV.
I've never seen it. Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's like sitting in a car knowing that the crash is going to happen, thinking, oh God, I can't stop it. You get so invested. There was one particular episode, which anybody who's watched Don't Tell the Bride will remember. This guy, right? It was absolutely awful. I actually remember watching it with James.
Right.
And so this guy, I'm going to call him Paul. That wasn't his name, but we'll call him that. And we'll call the bride Jenny.
Okay, Paul and Jenny.
So Paul and his best mate, let's call him Simon.
Yeah.
They decided that they
were confused now. Paul, Jenny, and Simon.
They were going to spend most of the budget on going to Vegas the week before the wedding. So they were going to. He decided he wants to get married in Vegas.
What was the budget?
I can't remember what it used to be. This is an old episode now. I think it was £5,000, somewhere between £10,000 and £5,000.
Right.
Anyway, he decided that him and his best mate were going to have a week long stag do in Vegas.
Using that budget?
Using quite a lot of that money, yeah, right.
Anyway,
as a result, it meant that a lot of the bride's family couldn't come because they didn't have the price. They didn't have the money for the plane ticket. And I'm not talking like extended family. I'm talking like her sister couldn't come.
Oh my gosh.
He sent out this video of him talking, saying, we're really sorry because of budget restrictions and we want to get married in Vegas. I mean, she didn't want to get married in Vegas. All the time this is going on, she's looking around stately homes in the UK saying,
I can
just picture like 150 people here watching me walk down this aisle, having this like garden room, looking out onto the rolling hills of the countryside. And he's doing a video to her family saying, now, as a result of us going to Vegas, not all of you can come.
So she doesn't know any of this.
No, she doesn't.
So
this
he's
is all
planning
him
all of this stuff, and she's
behind
not
her
got
back,
a clue.
And she's none the wiser Lord. About what's going on. Anyway, she gets to the airport, So she gets picked up on the day of her wedding and she's like, where are we going? And the driver's like, I'm taking you to Heathrow Airport. She's almost crying in the back of the car. Her sister could come. It was her brother that couldn't come.
Right.
So she's got her sister in the back of the car with her and her parents are in another car.
Mm.
And she gets to the airport. She still doesn't know where she's going. She goes up to the desk to check in and they give her an envelope and it says, you're flying to Vegas. She bursts into tears. She's like, I can't believe he's fucking done this.
I can't believe
that he's done this to me. Her sister, I actually feel quite sorry for her at this point. Her sister then says, I'm not coming. So she has to go through check-in and she's touch and go. And there's a, it cuts to him in a Vegas hotel room on the bed. And all you hear is him going, please get on the plane, love. Please just get on the plane. We can sort it out.
She got on the plane. No.
She got on the, but it was like, and he, the groom was like David Brent, basically.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was even more reason not to get on the plane.
He couldn't understand why she was so mad. He's just had a right laugh, hasn't he?
He's just had a right laugh there.
Basically.
Let's do this program. We'll get a hefty budget. We can blow most of it by having a great time in Vegas the week before. And then we'll just, yeah, we'll spend 50 quid and get married in.
But it was the cutting away to like, so her still at home thinking, because they move out. They, you know, one of the, so she moved in with her parents and then obviously he pissed off to Vegas. But
yeah,
it like cuts to there. It cuts to him and his best man, like in the casino drinking beer. Cuts to her at her parents going, I just hope he's planning the wedding that I've told him.
I want
because the groom picks the dress and everything. Oh yeah. And they do this whole bit where the bride goes and tries on the dress that she would love and then they cut to the groom picking out a dress and then they show the bride putting on
that dress that the groom chosen.
And most of the time they're like, I fucking hate it.
No.
Yeah, I can't believe he's picked this dress for me. I hate it. It's such a brilliant show.
Have you watched it? I've never heard of it. I've never seen it. Is it still on now?
No. Well, at the moment, that what they're doing, which is really, really good, on E4, they're doing Don't Tell the Bride Revisited. And that is also worth a watch.
So going back to those couples.
And this couple have just been on. The Vegas couple have just been on.
Are they still married?
Spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. You should go and watch the show. It's really good fun. You should go and watch it. But they've just been on. And the other one that was on the other week was there was this one groom that wanted to say his vows while they did a jump out of a plane. This bride turns up. She's in like a massive wedding dress. She turns up at this place and there's this tiny plane and the groom's waiting. And he's like, I thought it would be really good if we did a jump out of an aeroplane.
A skydive,
yeah, that's it. And it would be really good if we did a skydive down into all our guests and then as soon as we landed, said our vows. She bursts into tears.
So would I. I'd bloody
cry. It is so fun. It was such a great program. It's so good.
Right now, Pats, I mean, you are getting big on the shitting tits.
On your shitting tits big time. You are big time getting on my shitting tits.
Yeah, but this is your second time of bringing a shitting tits.
Of this season. Yeah, I know.
So I am looking forward to this. Okay, come on.
The thing that's getting on my shitting tits is gin.
Yes.
Right? I have got a lot to say about this.
That is a bloody great... I think this is the best tits that you've brought.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. Right.
And this is brilliant. Yes, go.
Okay. When I order a gin and tonic, I don't need you to ask me. I mean, Fever Tree, great brand, love them if you want to sponsor them. But the fucking amount of tonics you can get now that go with your gin, that go with your elderflower, your raspberry, your slow gin, your gooseberry gin, your taking three shits today gin. Would you like a cinnamon stick in that? Do you want some stinging nettles? I've got some frozen blueberries. Should I chuck some of those? No, I want a gin and tonic. I want a gin and tonic. Give me a gin and a slimline. Do you do gin? Yes.
Gins have gone. They've gone coffee, haven't they?
Oh, my God. It's like... Do you do gin? Yeah. So I went to a restaurant the other day. I said, have you got a drink? a restaurant, a restaurant just on that. Mickey Flanagan, when he says, my wife says, take me somewhere with an ambiance. I just want to go somewhere with an ambiance. And he said, I've taken her to places with an ambiance, and I figured out it's just a lack of poor people. That's a Mickey Flanagan gag, not my own.
Classic Flanagan.
So I went into this restaurant, I said, you've got a drinks menu. He handed it to me and then he went, oh no, sorry, that's the gin one. It was an A4 sheet.
Yeah.
It's gone out of control. We've got a raspberry gin, we've got a slow gin, we've got a blood orange gin. My God.
We've got gins from all around the fucking world with every flavour you could think of.
Gin. I mean, it is just like...
It's gone crazy.
And then, like, that. Do you know what it reminds me of? You know that scene in Love Actually where Rowan Atkinson wraps that necklace and he's putting all those sprigs in it and he wraps it in a massive bow?
Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah.
In Love Actually?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know when... Rowan Atkinson's not in Love Actually.
Yes, he is. You know, when he buys the necklace and Emma Thompson thinks it's going to be for her and he's the guy that wraps it and
puts all the extra regalia in it
is Rowan Atkinson.
That's the man in the store.
In the store. That's gin, isn't it? It's like you watch somebody now craft a gin. It's like this gin, this tonic, these sprigs.
These berries, rosemary, grapefruit.
Let's put a little spit in there, cinnamon stick. Would you like some stinging nettles with that? What about some holly? Do you want some of that? Fuck off. Just give me a gin and slim.
Yeah. A gin and slim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like... You know, they're spraying scents around the room. Next, it'll be like, I want to give you a real feel of what this is. I've also created a gin perfume for you that you can sniff while you drink it. Oh, my God. It's really starting to piss me off.
Yeah. No, this is an absolute classic tit. It really is.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. Gins have lost it. They've gone
lost it.
Into fucking overdrive.
You
know, juniper berries and shit.
What also is annoying? Years ago, gin used to be the shittest drink you could drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And somebody in Shoreditch made it cool. Mm. Some fucking twat who's like, yeah, I'm so cool now. Yeah,
I think the thing is, right? I think it's nice that you get a bit of variety. So you might say, do you know what? We'll have like, I don't know, 5 gins in our bar. We'll have 50 gins.
Yeah.
And then we'll put them on a menu that, like you say, is like a bloody book that you have to read to figure out which gin you want, what flavour gin it is, what's in it, and then what kind of tonic you then decide to put with it.
The world has gone tonic-tastic. Yeah. They have gone tonic-tastic.
It's gone gin-tontastic.
And then there's people who are like, oh, no, don't give me Schweppes. Have you got any Fever Tree?
Schweppes.
I'm not having Schweppes with my gin.
Schweppes. That's a load of shit, that Schweppes. Get the fever. Where's the fucking fever?
Everyone's like, oh, what, you don't do I don't want gin then. What, you haven't got the Elderflower and Gooseberry Fever Tree? Oh, God. I thought this was a... Mao, I thought you'd brought us to a posh establishment here. They don't even do Fever Tree.
What kind of place doesn't have Fever Tree?
But now when you go into like your Tesco, your Waitrose, your Morrisons.
Oh, they're all there.
It is like, I went down the booze aisle the other day and I was like, oh my God, there's like 50,000 bottles of gin.
Yeah.
Bottles.
Bottles. I mean, they're going to have to start having like just a pure, like you get your license.
Oh, a gin
license. Just have to start having just for gins, yeah.
Just for gins?
You can call it just for gins.
Just for gins. There you go. If anyone's listening and they want to start off a gin shop just for gins, you can have that one of us.
Just for gins.
Yeah. Honestly, it's really starting to annoy me. And when in this restaurant, I was given what he thought was the drinks menu with all their drinks on it. And then he went, oh, no, sorry, that's the gin one. I was like, oh, God, this is ridiculous. And at that point, I thought, shitting tits.
Yeah. Also, who is actually looking through a gin menu?
Oh, who is doing that?
Who's going
it's
through it?
It's your cough, cough, avo, avo.
Yeah,
that's
it
who's
is.
Doing
it's
it.
The,
and it's those
them
people
dicks.
That have... It's them dicks.
Them
have ruined
dicks.
Coffee. They've ruined
and
coffee
And now ruining
us.
Gin.
And now they've taken a punt at gin and I'm pissed off because some swanky dude in Shoreditch has made it cool and it's gone crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's losing their shit, lost their shit.
Because
gins.
Tarquin said, oh, this gin tastes great when I put this piece of shit in it. Let's drink it. Oh, God. fucking tits.
Right, so dickish.
Yes.
We've had this, I love this one that's coming from Lucy on Gram.
Yeah.
Dickish behaviour. Cheery early risers / morning people.
Oh, God. Dickish. Dickish.
They really irritate me. Do you know the people that irritate me the most? Right? People who are going to the gym at fucking 5 a.m.
Oh, God. That is brilliant.
Those people, I'm like, I actually do just want to punch you in the face.
Yeah. You know who is a cheery riser?
Who?
Mal.
Mal, yes.
Oh my God. Mal bounds out of bed. I remember when I used to live at home, right? When I was like in my 20s, yeah. Me and mum, actually probably earlier than that, when I was in sixth form, my mum used to give me a lift to school. I remember me and mum if dad was out of work, it was fine. We would have an absolutely unwritten rule that we would not talk to each other.
Mm.
So we'd get up, we'd go, we'd exist in the same space, we'd say good morning. We'd eat our breakfast. She'd have a cup of tea. I'd have my toast or my cereal or whatever. I'd pack my bag silently. Any day that Mal was there, there would be looks between mum and I. Like, are you going to punch him or am I?
Mm. Well, do you know what
he's
the thing with Mal
cracking
is, right?
Jokes.
Mal deteriorates over the day. That's what I've noticed with Mal.
Right. He is a cheery early riser.
Yeah, the more time I spend with him over kind of a length, you know, days or whatever. In the mornings, Mal is on form, right? You're like, great. Do you know what, Mal? Right now, I love being around you. You're on form. You're chirpy. You're cheery. I mean, a little bit annoying. Part of me does want to punch you in the face. But actually, we're on form now, Mal, right? You get Mal to 7 p.m.
Oh, God.
Fucking nightmare. Like, you want to punch him for other reasons.
Yes. Like 7 p.m. But it's the gags he tries to tell. Like, when I was getting up, you know, when I was going to school, you're getting up at like 7 in the morning and Mal's coming down going, oh, God, what's going on with this orange juice then? What's going on with this orange juice? You know, I've got a funny story about orange juice.
What did he say every morning when we were in Clevedon? What was the thing he always said? Can you remember? It was like a phrase, but he put the words in a different order. Hell, what is the going on?
So he started doing that anyway. Hell, what is down going?
But
he thinks it's hilarious.
Which it kind of is. He would appear in the kitchen in his nice, patchy patchwork pajamas, flannelettes or whatever they are. And he just turn up, chipper as ever. Hell,
what is down going?
And actually, it would give me a little smile.
Well, it's like, what's to be done about this orange juice then? Are you having your coffees? Are you having your coffees? Are you having coffees? What's to be done about this orange juice?
There's
no
breakfast.
We have your breakfast. There's no bloody bread. Hey, look, Ruth, look at this bread. This bread's been left half open. No bloody bread going on now. And you're just like, honestly, Dad, you've got verbal diarrhea. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but I do kind of, I think I appreciate Mal like that because I know by the end of the day, it's going to be
nothing.
Bad.
You got nothing.
Like, okay, I'll take this from you for now because actually by 6 o'clock, really irritating me.
Mal doesn't even listen, but I think he is too cheery. Early risers do piss me off.
Yeah. Why do people wake up like that?
Yeah. How do you get out of bed in that mood? Like, I've just been asleep for 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah.
Like, not talking. How do you get your head in that frame of mind when you swing your legs out of the bed and, you know, look, give me 20 minutes after I've had my shower. Maybe you've had a bit of breakfast, had a coffee, whatever.
Yeah.
I am much more able to then engage.
See,
like 8:10.
I think I am quite chirpy in the mornings.
Oh God, then you're annoying. You are sitting right in dickish behaviour. You're getting on my shitting tits.
Not like Mal. I'm not like that, but I am. I can have a bit of a chat and a laugh of a morning. I can do that.
Yeah, that is annoying for me.
The thing with me is though, you can you get that all day. There's not a huge range in Ange.
I think you know, the picture that was sent of you on Saturday night to our family WhatsApp chat where you passed out on the sofa asleep, like half dribbling with your mouth open. I think there does come a point where we lose that chipper Ange.
Yeah, but that was just because I was tired.
I'm going to say in the 39 years I've known you, there's been points where we've lost chipper Ange.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying I am permanently chipper, but I do think...
Why have we started using
chipper?
We've become obsessed with chipper.
Chipper. Morning, chipper.
Ange, I've got a question. What's been going on with your therapy? Have you made contact with those three therapists?
No.
Oh, I knew it would be a no. I knew it would be a no. Well, look, there's no judgment here. This is a safe space. I'm not going to have a go at you, but you need to prioritise this in your life.
I know. Do you know what? This is half of my problem, right? Is that there is so much shit that goes on in my life. I don't make time for that or for me or for whatever it might be. And that's half of my problem. So I really need to, basically, I need people to be on my back all the time.
Well, I'm going to ask you next week, but I'm also going to ask you on Wednesday if you've made contact with your therapist.
Okay. I actually was going to do it this morning, and guess what? Didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
No.
I've reconnected with Kate Campbell, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, the sex therapist. She's just a therapist for me. I've emailed her. I'm starting up with her again on the 30th of October because there's a few things going on over here that are pretty big, I'm having to dig pretty deep at the moment. My emotional well-being probably isn't in the greatest place that it's been before. And I got to the stage where I thought, I really need to process this with somebody who, and this is the thing, it's about, you know, you can process stuff with anybody in your life, can't you? Like, you could come to me or you could go to Ian or you've got other friends, but having somebody who is completely emotionally detached from you and doesn't have any agenda with you and isn't trying to sway you one way or the other is the most helpful thing about therapy. Yeah. Because it's a voice that says, I'm not invested in this in one way or another with you. Mm-hmm. I want to listen and I want to help you try and make sense of what's going on. And I think it's timely, this conversation, actually, because it was World Mental Health Day on Sunday, the 9th of October. And I think, you know, I put a thing up on my story saying the best thing that I've done for myself is make friends with myself and be emotionally connected to myself and know what I need. Because I know things are becoming difficult for me again. Things are becoming tricky. I'm losing my grasp on some things. I feel like there's some stuff going on in my life that is difficult to manage and I'm not being able to process that very well. But I know that by stepping back into that space with Kate, she will be able to completely help me and ask me the right questions. Not, you know, she doesn't tell me what to do, but she asks those questions and steers that conversation with me that says, well, let's spend a bit of time thinking about this. What do you think's happening here? Why do you think that is? And, you know, to have that space in your life, it's single-handedly the best thing I've ever done for myself, without question. It is the best self-care I've ever given myself.
I think as well, for me, I kind of feel like speaking to somebody who doesn't know me and my life and my setup and, you know, where I'm from and who I'm related to, all those things.
Yeah.
I feel like I will be able to say more than I might do to you or a friend or someone because I think that's half my problem is I'm always quite guarded about what I do say or how much I say. So I think to be with somebody who just doesn't know anything about me and I can kind of say as much or as little as I want to.
That's right.
And obviously, you know, like Kate does with you, they'll probably ask me questions that might make me think about something I probably don't think about or haven't ever thought about. And that will kind of, but so I, you know, it's not like I'm not doing anything about it because I don't want to do it. No. It's more me just getting my ass into gear and, as per usual, prioritizing myself. That's the biggest thing.
And do you know, I think counselling, therapy, whatever you want to call it, rather than it getting to the point where it's a necessity in our life, we have got to start talking about it as self-care. We've got to start seeing it as a space that keeps ourselves safe and well and ticking over.
Yeah.
Because when stuff becomes too overwhelming for us, the space it takes in our head is awful. It's so hard to deal with and to manage. And that means we're not looking after ourselves. You know, we wouldn't, look, you know, obviously I pulled an all-nighter a few weeks ago, but we wouldn't not give ourselves enough sleep, would we? Or we wouldn't not wash our clothes.
Fuel
or, you know,
ourselves properly.
Yeah, or look after ourselves in another way. And actually, therapy, rather than it being like, oh, it's something I go to when stuff gets really
bad. Yeah.
I think it's got to be a conversation of, and that doesn't mean we have to be in therapy all our lives, every single week, forever. But I think for me, I've quite quickly figured out I need to go back to see Kate because I know it's a form of self-care for me. It's a form of me looking after myself and making sure that I'm managing my emotions. Yeah. It's not a, God, the chips are really down. I can't cope at the moment.
So I need you to, just ask me, prompt me again, because otherwise I'll just go another week.
Oh, I am on your case.
I am
on your case.
Okay. I will do my very best to get that sorted by tomorrow afternoon. How about that?
Amazing. I'm going to double check. That. Well, look, Angela, I'm going to be checking in with you, and I'm also going to bring this up again next week and see if we've got somewhere. And we don't want to let our listeners down, Angela, do we? We don't want to get to another week where it's like, I haven't.
I know, but people start going, Ange, she's pathetic.
She is absolutely a pathetic
human being. She's just sort her shit out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've come to the end of another episode. God, that's gone quick. Felt like a funny one.
They just fly by now.
Oh, they do, don't they? That don't hour they? Just goes. Bang. It's because we always have so much fun together, you and I.
I know.
Because we just love being in each other's company. And there are conversations now, aren't there? We're right. Like, I was desperate to tell you about the gin thing. And I kept saying to you, I want to tell you my. And we were like, no, got to save it.
Yeah, there's always so much that we speak about during the week.
I know.
Then we go, no, actually, I'm not going to tell
like,
you.
We
that
start
now.
A conversation and we're
Monday.
Like, stop it. Stop.
Ange, not now.
Not now. Anyway, look, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. As we've already said, you can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden
and I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook, just search Finding the Funny Podcast, or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
and if you haven't watched us on Loose Women yet, you can catch it on iPlayer. We were on Thursday's episode, so if you haven't seen us, we'd love it if you went back and watched. Tag us if you take pictures or you watch it for the first time. Tag us, we'll share it. If you enjoy the episode, get in touch with us. We'll always reshare anything you tag us in. But we're at the end of another episode, and we will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.